You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Not the postseason start you hoped for, as we had the conversation of rest versus rust leading up to this matchup. I don't think it was entirely the Bucks being rusty after a full week off, and really, in the case of Giannis, of Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Brooke Lopez, and all of your stars, this was closer to 2 weeks, 10 days off for this group. And conversely, it's a Miami Heat team that has been playing for their playoff lives the last week. They have been in the flow of things. They have gotten into a rhythm, and it showed today, as this did not look like a team that was just dipping their toe into the postseason. The Miami Heat come out tonight. They outcompete, and they were the better team for all 48 minutes. The eighth-seeded Miami Heat steal home court advantage in this best-of-seven series, taking game one against the Milwaukee Bucks. 130-117, your final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620 is the phone number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Again, 855-616-1620, the number to join us, the talk and text line. And I am sure there is a lot on your minds after watching this performance today. And look, the big news is watching Giannis go down early in this game, not to return in that second quarter, ruled out for good with a lower back contusion. The worst possible news for a Bucks team that got off to a slow start prior to that injury. All around, not what you hope for on all fronts to open up the postseason. Again, 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. We begin the show by going out to those phone lines. And let's start with Dick in Port Washington. Dick, did you envision this happening?
Yeah, you know what? And my wife can verify this. I had an inkling all day long that this was going to be a bad result tonight. And it happened. I mean, I'm not lying. I just had a feeling. But with that said, I like to reel back some of the stuff that you're going to hear tonight on this, okay? You got to remember that a lot of this stuff in sports and in life is just a statistical equivalent, okay? Everything that Atlanta beat Miami with the other night happened to the Bucks tonight. You know, Miami was due for a game like this. 60% from the field, 60% from three-point shooting, from a team that ranked 27th in the league. That, you know, that's, it's bound to happen. The second part of this is that I just don't think, I'm not buying this that, oh, ref hurt us. No, it happened. You hit a buzzsaw, all right? We actually competed really well without Giannis, I thought. And there were a couple of times that we got it to where I thought if we could just get the lead, we'd have them, and it didn't happen. And you got to remember some other points here. What happened? Atlanta beat us in the first game in Milwaukee when we won the championship, all right? We lost the first two games in Brooklyn. I think one was close to 40 points. I personally think we can beat Miami even if Giannis can't come back. They're not going to shoot this way again. And they had a big injury tonight. Heroes, there's no way he's coming back this series. No way. No way. And why do you think Duncan's been on the bench all year? Because he's not playing well. So I still think we're going to come back and win this series. And normally, and Justin, you can probably verify this, I'm usually Mr. Negative. I think we're still going to win this series. What do you think of my comment?
No, I don't disagree with that last part. I mean, the Bucks still should win this series, and that, I think, is the frustrating part, is how you started here. Look, I've talked about this a little bit. We talked about it a lot 2 years ago when these two teams played in the first round, in that there was a lot of fear around the Miami Heat when Dick, to the point that you made about the statistical, what we saw for Miami versus Atlanta, what we saw tonight. I mean, the numbers usually do not lie, and we kept harping on the numbers tell you, look, you are better than the Miami Heat that season, 2 years ago. The numbers tell you the same thing this year. And you heard a lot of fans, especially Celtics fans, that were starting to get a little nervous of, man, we're going to get the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs, and that's not a team that I want to play. We said this before we knew the seeding. The Heat are not going to be a fun team to play in the postseason because they're smart, they're tough, they are very well coached by Eric Spoelstra, and when they're on, they can do things like this. When they knock down shots, you look at the Miami Heat and you wonder, well, how wasn't this team a top five or a top four seed in the East? Well, the answer is the Miami Heat don't regularly knock down shots. Now, I agree with you. The Bucks can still win this series. The Bucks still should win this series. Tonight was disappointing. Today was disappointing. You can win this series without Giannis. I think the disappointing part was even when Giannis went down for the remainder of this game, we have seen the Bucks win games without Giannis. We've seen them win playoff games without Giannis. And you just never got the sense that was going to be the case today. You got it down to one, and the Heat immediately answered with a big run of their own. Before you knew it, it was back to double figures. In the third quarter, you got the margin down to three, and it was the same thing. You were teetering there. Bobby Portis hit that long two we thought was a three. Instead, it was a two, so the margin's three instead of two. And then Miami answered, put it back up to eight. Before you know it, it was double figures going into the fourth quarter. So that was the disappointing part. I agree with your assertion that this wasn't just because the Bucks had last played last Sunday, and they didn't play anybody in the previous two games, the Sunday against the Raptors, Friday against the Memphis Grizzlies. This wasn't just the Bucks being off and the Miami Heat playing all throughout this past week and playing playoff-style games. I think it helped Miami. That wasn't the reason why the Bucks lost this game. But yeah, the takeaway from this is not doom and gloom that the Bucks are now going to lose this series. You should still win this series. You are the number one seed in all of the playoffs. It's frustrating, though, because the Heat steal home court advantage. And now the reality is this. You are the one seed in all of the playoffs, not just this series. You're the one seed in the playoffs. You now have to win four of the next six games in this series. And you do not have home court advantage. It is evenly split. Three games in Miami, three games in Milwaukee. And you got to win four out of six to avoid first-round elimination. So that's what dropping game one as the home team does to you, and that's the frustrating part for the Bucks. Now, we did hear from head coach Mike Budenholzer after the game. On the surface, it sounds good with Giannis. I think at the time Giannis went down, the hesitation that you got or the kind of raised eyebrow that was created was, you know, this is a playoff game, and if Giannis is out for the game with a lower back contusion in a playoff game, that kind of sounds like it's more serious than just he fell awkwardly on his tailbone and it's sore. So Coach Budenholzer did say the x-rays were clear. They feel pretty optimistic. Well, actually, I don't know if he said they feel optimistic, but that was heavily implied and stated it's really a matter of how Giannis feels tomorrow. Now, talked about the rest versus rust. You got 2 days off between now and game two. But in this situation, that might be a good thing to just get Giannis some more rest. I'm sure he's going to be dealing with soreness for certainly the next few games in this series and maybe the remainder of this series. But that might be a good thing for the Bucks to have those 2 days in between these games and hopefully get Giannis back out there for game two. But it was really X's and O's. And I thought that was the interesting part because before the game, we mentioned this on the air, Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Heat, said before the game, this was not going to be about X's and O's. This was just going to be about which team competed. And I think you saw the Miami Heat were the team that competed more in this game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. It's the Miami Heat take game one in this best of seven series. I do want to get to the other thing that Dick brought up, and that's lost in the shuffle here, is this injury to Tyler Hero. We mentioned the injury to Giannis, but a big injury by the Miami Heat. They were able to sustain it today. But what does that mean for the rest of the series? Because that is nothing to scoff at. And given what the injury was and what we were told it is, I have a hard time seeing Tyler Hero take the floor for the remainder of this series. So again, 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. More after this as we get you through a tough loss here. 130 to 117, the final score. We get you set for Game 2 and take a look at that injury by Tyler Hero next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Martin's going to tee up another three, and he connects again. Well, we knew that three-point shot could play a big role in this series. So far, advantage Miami. They've hit 3 of 4 from distance. The Bucks 1 of 6, and Miami has stormed out. What is now? I'm going to give them a 2 there, looks like. That's just a 2-pointer, they'll say. So it's a 10-point lead for the Miami Heat.
Started early for the Miami Heat on their three-point shooting, and it carried through for the duration of the game. As again, Miami went 8 of 14 on threes in the first half, 7 of 11 in the second half. This was not an example of the Heat having one hot quarter or one hot half. They sustained this for the duration of the game, and you got to assume the shooting we saw tonight from Miami, that is not going to carry throughout the course of this series, where a team shoots 60% on their threes and 60% from the field. That doesn't mean Miami can't shoot 50%. It doesn't mean they can't be a 40% three-point team in this series. The bigger thing is you got to find a way to generate better offense if you're the Bucks, and we're going to continue to point to the defense. This group was elite in the first half of the season. Once you started to build up that lead in the second half of the one seed, we saw the defense start to slowly slide from 1 to 3 to 5. There were 18 the final few weeks of the regular season. So where is this defense? Is it closer to the group that was number one early in the season and really early in this second half charge? Or is it closer to the group that we saw 18th, the final month and a half of this regular season? Because that's going to decide how long this series goes as well. And again, Dick made the point to start the show. Hey, I think the Bucks can still win this series. The Bucks still should win this series. I mean, that is the big thing, is you continue to see some of this. We can still win. The Bucks should still win this series. You are the one seed versus the eight seed. If Giannis is healthy, that's going to change a lot in this series as well. If you get him back out there on the floor for game number two, look, who knows? Maybe we talked about generating offense. Maybe it's as simple as Giannis creating some of those looks, because this version of the Heat is not the same Miami Heat we saw in the bubble, where they have those bodies and those players on the wing built to stop or slow down Giannis. This is not the same Miami Heat group. So if you get Giannis back, more points in the paint, more points around the rim, better looks for your teammates, though you did miss some open looks tonight, and especially your corner threes, where the Bucks really, really struggled. They do a good job of generating corner looks due to Giannis's driving ability and the drive and kick. Drew Holiday can do the same. Generating those looks has never been an issue for the Bucks, but they did not hit enough corner threes for the amount of looks that they got here. It is the easiest shot in basketball, and at one point the Bucks were 1 of 9. They finished hitting 5 of their last 7, but still 6 of 16 on corner threes is a number that has to come upward as well as Miami takes game 1 in this best-of-7 series. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Joe in Madison. You're up next.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for taking my calls. So I heard Max Kellerman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about the playoffs, and he said to a certain extent that back in 2021 when the Bucks won the championship, that, you know, if the Nets were fully healthy and when the Nets were fully healthy, were healthy with just KD and Kyrie, that they were mopping the floor with the Bucks and were cruising to a sweep, and then Kyrie goes down in game 3. I believe Kyrie was healthy for Game 3. Game 4, he goes down.
Halftime.
Yeah, and then the Bucks win the series. He was basically saying that the Bucks would never have won the title. What are your thoughts on what he said there?
I mean, it's a ridiculous assertion, and how do you explain the finals, where the Bucks went down 2-0 to the best team in the league that year and came back to win 5 in a row? So, look, you're going to always hear some of that. We heard it with the bubble and the Lakers. We didn't hear quite as much of it, and I think a big part that took away from that is the fact that Giannis scored 50 points in the closeout game of the NBA Finals, and he did it coming back on one leg 1 week after we thought, well, a couple of weeks, Game 6 was. But came back for the Finals a week after we thought not only was he done for that season, but the following season was going to be in jeopardy as well. And look, I mean, this game has nothing to do with what Max Kellerman said or his claim that that championship may not be as meaningful. I mean, you're going to constantly deal with that. But the larger point is this team, go back to that run. They closed out the Atlanta Hawks without Giannis. So I'm not going to, and I don't think it's fair to Miami. I don't think it's fair to the way that he played today to point to Giannis going down as the reason why the Bucks lost this game. They won. They closed out the Atlanta Hawks without Giannis because of Chris Middleton. And that's another thing we haven't gotten to yet. I do want to spend some time on it. Chris Middleton was fantastic today. Now, we still got to see more of it. It's not just one game where you can say, well, Chris is back. He's looked better in the second half of the season. I know there was a lot of concern and trepidation over those last couple of weeks and how things played out, really the last week of the season, with Chris leaving the game and then missing the final few games of the regular season. But Chris Middleton looked every bit the guy he was in that playoff run today. He was your best offensive player, and it wasn't even close. He was efficient. He was hitting vintage Chris Middleton shots. He was huge. And without Chris Middleton in this game, this is a blowout today. So I do want to get into what Chris Middleton brought to this team, but more your thoughts as well as the Bucks drop game one in this series. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Again, 130 points scored by the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, the most points they have scored in a playoff game in franchise history. Patty in Oak Creek, you're up next on the show.
Hey, Dustin, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, I was at the game today, and number one, I have one question, which I don't know why. Do you know why Connaughton's not playing? He was suited up and he wasn't playing.
They just have, at this point, better options than Pat Connaughton.
Okay, well, I didn't know, you know, why they didn't put him in. Another thing, too, is, you know, they were very weak on driving the basket. And I think that they're going to – everyone's, you know, getting all upset because it's the first game and all these speculations that they're making. But if they stay together as a unit and we get Giannis back, but we can win without Giannis, too – is we can win and we can move forward. I think what they need to do, they needed to go to the basket more today. I was at the game sitting right there, right under the basket, and they were not driving the basket at all. They were not driving in and pulling the ball out at all. They were just taking shots, and they looked like they were not on their game today. So that's what I have to say. So all the Bucks fans out there, don't get disappointed. We will do fine, and we will get it together, and we will move forward.
To your point, Patty, thanks for the call. 46 points in the paint. Not great, not terrible. We've certainly seen fewer, but 62 from the Heat. So they dominated that area. They dominated threes. Again, Miami scored their points in the paint on threes and free throws. Only 8 points of their 130 came from somewhere other than those three spots. Free throw line, three-pointers, or points in the paint. So Miami had the perfect game, and if you look at the shot chart, it'll be everything that coaches salivate over. But I agree with Patty's assertion. We didn't see a whole lot of driving. You know, we saw some penetrate and kick, but you're not hitting shots. I mean, on a night where you shoot 24% on your threes, the penetrate and kick is only going to be so valuable that I think this game, when you shoot less than 30% on threes, for Brook Lopez to only attempt 7 field goals in this game is one of the first areas you would circle back on. And she made the point that we've mentioned a couple of times. You can still win this game and this series. I'm not saying you're going to have to win the series without Giannis, but you can still win this series without Giannis. You just got to clean some things up. This wasn't just the Bucks being rusty, so it's not as though, hey, we got nothing to worry about. Now that we're back in the groove, we'll be fine in game two. You do have to clean some things up here. But this is still a series I expect the Bucks to win. It's not over. It's just disappointing. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. What are those things you're going to need to clean up, starting with Game 2, but as this series progresses? And the other injury that took place in this game, there was a lot to discuss about that. What we saw from the point of the injury and the injury itself, we'll get into all of that after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Rebound in front of the iron by Middleton. Chris takes off running the other way. Sends it out. Catch and shoot three-point try from Grayson Allen, and maybe that'll break the seal. Splashes it through from the left wing.
Rarity there with a Bucks made three-pointer. They finished the game 11 of 45 on threes, 24%. Grayson Allen hit 2 of 4. The bright spots were Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews, who was also 2 for 4, and Joe Ingles going 3 of 7 from the outside. But the Bucks just couldn't buy a bucket from three in this game. Stop me if you've heard this before. Three-point shooting does not go the way of the Bucks in this one, as the Miami Heat come into Fiserv Forum and take game one in this best-of-seven series, 130-117. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on the show today. Still want to get to that other injury. We mentioned Giannis leaving at, I believe it was the 8:33 mark in the second quarter, leaving for good. It was an 8-point game when Giannis left, Miami up, and they would win this game by 13. So Miami already winning with Giannis leaving the game, and they built on that lead, though not significantly. But one other injury that may be more significant that I do want to get to, and again, a big, big Chris Middleton offensive game in this one today. Brandon in Racine, you're up next on the show.
Hey, just calling in this one to talk about the, you know, two major injuries that happened with Giannis and Tyler Hero. You know, a lot of people are worried about the Giannis injury, but I think that, you know, the Bucks can kind of stay afloat with the series with them, with him being out, if he's out for the whole series. But I don't know if he can, you know, stay this, you know, high-energy offense without Hero, because he's going to be the number two option behind Jimmy Butler, because they're not very, you know, offensively heavy. So I think they're going to struggle, you know, next game, because they're not going to shoot 60% from three, and the Bucks aren't going to shoot, hopefully, 70% from three. But another thing I wanted to add was, you know, the Bucks could have easily won this game. They got it down pretty close. That's when Milton started to get hot. And then I remember they had a steal. Carter had it 2-on-1. Fast break, and he pulls up from three. I know he's been shooting those all season, but, you know, we're struggling from three all night. You know, give it to the hot hand Milton. See if he can get a foul or make that layup, you know, get that momentum. I feel like that kind of lost some momentum and lost some the rest of the game.
Yeah, and I was wondering if that would come up, because that is Javon Carter's shot. And I think that is one of the more polarizing things here in this postseason run, is those are the types of plays in transition. Now, with no Giannis on the floor, it's a little different, but when you're in transition, when you miss that pull-up three, when you have a guy like Drew or Chris or Giannis on the floor, certainly when Giannis is on the floor, I know it causes quite a bit of backlash, and you wonder, well, why don't you get the ball to somebody else? But Javon Carter's hit those at a very high rate, and in this game especially, at that moment, I didn't really have a problem with the shot. Now, I do understand your point of Chris was carrying the offense, and there were a couple of other possessions right around that stretch in the game where he didn't touch the ball. And that's just a fail on the part of the Bucks, that with the offense struggling to the levels it did, especially from the outside, you almost had to force feed the ball to Chris Middleton. You had a couple of opportunities. And look, Miami won this game ultimately by 13 points. This is a game, statistically speaking, the Miami Heat should have won by some of those margins we saw yesterday. When you look at what the Celtics did to the Hawks and what the Sixers did to the Brooklyn Nets, that felt like the way this was going, how Miami should have been up in this game. They gave you opportunities with turnovers and with some of those types of sequences that we saw in the second half, where Miami would just take their foot off the gas pedal and allow the Bucks to crawl back in this. But it ultimately, to me, this was two things. it was your three-point shooting, and we'll take Giannis' injury out of it, your three-point shooting and your defense. This defense was just simply not good enough. And some of those things, we said, well, what do the Bucks need to correct here? I do think when you watch the second half of this game, Bam Adebayo got much more comfortable with the way the Bucks and Brook Lopez were defending him. Early in the game, we saw stretches where Bobby Portis was on the floor when Bam Adebayo was, Brook Lopez was not, and vice versa. Kevin Love on the floor, Brook Lopez was out there. I think that's something you're going to see in the second half. It came down significantly. Starting with game two, I think that's going to be one of the first changes you make. When Bam's on the floor, Brook Lopez is on the floor. When Kevin Love is on the floor, Bobby Portis is on the floor. And again, if Giannis is available, that changes things there as well. The other thing is how you defend Jimmy Butler. And there were a couple of stretches in this game where you looked at the personnel the Bucks had on the floor. Chris Middleton was the guy tasked with defending Jimmy Butler. It was lineups like Chris Middleton, Joe Ingles, Javon Carter. There was no Wesley Matthews. There was no Jrue Holiday. There was no Jay Crowder. Those are not going to be lineups conducive to slowing down Jimmy Butler. We saw this in the bubble. You need that size and you need that physicality to put out there on Jimmy Butler. Chris Middleton is not that. And as good as Chris Middleton was offensively in this game, he looked like vintage Chris Middleton. He looked like the guy you saw on that playoff run to an NBA championship. He was hitting the turnaround jumper. He was hitting the mid-range jumper. He was drawing fouls. He was converting and-ones. Chris Middleton was terrific offensively. Chris Middleton did not look like the same guy he was during that run on the defensive side of the floor. And that is not to say he's not that guy. But today, Chris Middleton was not that guy. And I thought in some of those sequences with Jimmy Butler, it really stood out. So you have to come up with a better plan to slow down Jimmy Butler. You heard Eric Name ask Coach Budenholzer about Giannis, and obviously you couldn't go to that for the final 40 or so minutes of this game, 30 or so minutes of this game, but we saw that quite a bit in the first round series 2 years ago. Giannis out there on Jimmy Butler, put the size on him, give him some of those length problems, and if Giannis is healthy and good to go in game two, I think you're going to see more of that as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk as the Miami Heat come into Milwaukee and take game one in this best of seven series. The other injury, I do want to get to that. We'll talk about the Tyler Hero injury because there was a lot that went into that. The sequence, the play itself, and then watching a noticeably impaired, visibly impaired Tyler Hero walking on the floor, still in the game. I do want to get to the whole sequence of events and what it means for the rest of this series moving forward. Some more calls to get to as well. We'll get to your thoughts and dive into the Tyler Hero injury after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Trying to get that double-digit lead and add to it here late. 7 seconds to play here in the third. Vincent, top of the arc, feeds it near side. Three-pointer on the way. Duncan Robinson plants one right in the heart of the cylinder. And Miami is going to take what is a 14-point lead into the fourth quarter.
14-point lead going into the fourth. It was a 13-point game going into halftime, and it ends up being a 13-point Miami Heat victory in game one of this best of seven series. I'm Justin Garcia. You've tuned in to Bucks Talk as we take your thoughts on this outcome here, not the result we hope for. It's the Miami Heat steal home court advantage in this best of seven series. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. I did mention the Tyler Hero injury quite a bit. We will get to that in just a moment here, but let's grab one more phone call before we do that. Ricky in Honey Creek, you're up next.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I mean, the Bucks started out very poorly in this game. Giannis, I said this before in season, Giannis struggling at the free throw line, and he continued to show that performance when he was in the game. But it just seems like especially during the season, when Giannis is not on the court, the Bucks are struggling to score. And Chris Middleton was really good tonight. Bobby Portis was good tonight. They really helped us, you know, try to stay in as close as we can. But I think Giannis not being able to play the entire game was a really big factor into this loss. Now, the good news is the Heat don't have Tyler Hero and possibly for the rest of the series. But if the Bucks don't have Giannis back, then I think the Bucks are in trouble here. The Heat are good. It would not surprise me if the Heat were to eliminate the Bucks, but I am hoping that Giannis is able to come back and the Bucks can somehow pull this series off. Let's go, Bucks!
All right, thanks for the call, Ricky. You had me until it would not surprise you if the Heat beat the Bucks. I mean, I know you lost home court advantage. This is a 1-8 matchup. Jimmy Butler is great in the playoffs. The Bucks still have the best player in this series. They have of the five best players in this series. The Bucks have at the very least three of them and maybe four. So this would be a major surprise if the best record in basketball goes out in the first round to a team that had to play in the play-in tournament. So I'm not there with you on that one. But again, what we have tried to drill home here, this is very disappointing. It was a frustrating performance tonight. It was, in fairness, a performance I don't think many longtime Bucks fans were shocked by. Not necessarily the result. It's still surprising to see a one seed lose 2-8. But look, we've seen this team enough to know layoffs are not very kind to this team and to how they start and respond in the early going of a game after some extended time off. So if you told me Bucks are going to be down 13 at halftime, I wouldn't have been surprised. And as a matter of fact, you know, we were talking about this before the game with Jason Jackson, with Eric Reed, with John Crotty, with some of the Miami Heat radio and TV guys, myself, Dave Kane, Lisa Byington. We were all talking about what was going to happen in this game. And it was interesting to hear the Miami perspective of, well, this isn't a good matchup for us. This could be a quick series. And I think the three of us said, yeah, I mean, look, we expect the Bucks to win, but I don't know that this is going to be a sweep. And I think you guys, your best shot at getting us is going to be today. We don't play well when we've had time off. I wouldn't be shocked to see a big lead at halftime, and maybe this is kind of like what we saw, not so much a huge lead, but what we saw when these two teams played 2 years ago. Miami jumps off to a nice start. The Bucks have to slowly come back and ultimately win a close game. Unfortunately, the latter part of that did not happen today. But I'll say this. When Giannis went down, when we got the notification from Bucks PR, Giannis is not going to return in this game, and mentioned that, you immediately kind of thought, well, what does this mean for the rest of the game? As I mentioned, 8-point Heat lead at the time that Giannis went out of this game. But to me, the wording behind why Giannis was out, lower back contusion, you started to think, well, it's a playoff game. And if Giannis is not going to return with a lower back contusion, don't get me wrong, this is not saying how can Giannis not be out there. This has got to be serious. And I don't know that we can immediately dismiss that this is just this game and Giannis will be back for game two if you're going to miss a postseason game. Now, no sooner than that, 5 minutes later, Tyler Hero, going for a loose ball, dives on the floor, and there was some contact. It looked like he just kind of fell on the ball. You couldn't really tell what happened. It was on the other end of the floor from where our vantage point was. But you could see something happened to Tyler Hero. And on his way down the floor, he was visibly impacted there, holding what looked like his hand. As things started to progress, Tyler Hero is still running up and down the floor. Now, he's not limping because it's not a leg injury, but he's still holding his arm. And you can't help but notice it. Then the Miami Heat get the ball. Tyler Hero's still on the floor. And all of this is happening in front of the Miami Heat bench, in front of Eric Spoelstra. And there's a possession where the Miami Heat have the ball right in front of their bench with the shot clock winding down. Tyler Hero is crouched down in the corner trying to take himself away from the play. And he actually tried to check out of the game and go to the bench. And it looked like perhaps even walk back to the locker room. But a substitution was not allowed, and he was told by the officials, you got to get back on the floor. So with Tyler Herro on the floor, he's crouched down in the corner, trying to take himself out of the play. The ball gets in his hands, and he has to shoot the ball as soon as he shot it. You could see prior to that, he was grabbing his wrist. And as soon as he shot the basketball, it nearly hit the side of the backboard. Tyler Herro's a pretty good shooter. So to see that shot, you knew something was up here. He played the rest of the half. Now, I know there was only about 2 minutes left, but he played the rest of the half. And shortly into halftime, we get notified by Heat PR. Tyler Herro's out for the game with a hand or arm fracture. Now, I hate jumping to conclusions and assuming things here. Broken right hand for Tyler Herro. But a broken right hand, that's his shooting hand. And to have it fractured, I do not see how Tyler Herro can return to the floor in this series. And a few people have pointed it out, I've seen. A few of our callers have mentioned it as well. That is a huge blow for the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler's great. Bam Adebayo was terrific in the second half. I mentioned he did seem to get a little more comfortable on that defense that the Bucks are playing against him as this game rolled along. I do expect the Bucks to make adjustments and counter that, and then it becomes, who's the number two scorer? We saw Duncan Robinson for all of 3 minutes, and I think quickly into it you saw why Duncan Robinson slowly stopped playing this season and was ushered out of the rotation. He did hit a three. But there were a couple of drives to the basket that Duncan Robinson was allowed and could not convert. We did not, I think conspicuous by his absence, was Victor Oladipo. We did not see Victor Oladipo in this game. Now, after the game ended, Victor Oladipo was out here on this floor running sprints up and down. But still, as shorthanded as the Heat were, with no Tyler Herro, no Victor Oladipo in this game. So look, the Bucks are a deeper team than Miami. Depth is not always imperative in the postseason. But Tyler Herro was going to be a key to the Miami Heat success, not just for his shooting ability, but with the way that Kyle Lowry has performed this season. And by the way, Kyle Lowry in this game today played 19 minutes off the bench, only took one shot in this game after a 30-point outburst. In the 7-8 matchup against the Atlanta Hawks, they need Tyler Herro to be up there close to the Jimmy Butler level, close to the guy he was in the bubble. And not only are they not going to get that, it appears they're not going to have Tyler Herro for the rest of this series, you would have to think, with a hand fracture. So that is something to certainly keep an eye on. If Giannis does not play for the rest of this series, that is a bummer. That is certainly going to hurt the Bucks, especially when you have already given up home court advantage. But the Bucks are a deep team, and the Bucks still have Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, all of these guys that can generate some of that offense. The Heat cannot say the same. So that could potentially be something that swings this series big time in favor of the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. More after this, and we'll get you caught up on that score in Phoenix as well when we return on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
The lower back contusion, only plays 11 minutes, so he played 6 minutes against Miami in that game after the All-Star break, and today just 11 minutes. But the Tyler Herro injury, just as big, and again, for depth reasons, potentially bigger. Even if Giannis, an MVP candidate, the best player in the league, even if he is out for this series. And to be clear, so I don't get aggregated, we do not know that Giannis is out for this series. It sounded optimistic when we heard from head coach Mike Budenholzer after the game. As he said, the x-rays were clear. It's more a matter of how does he feel tomorrow when he wakes up. And again, keep in mind, you get 2 days off between game one and game two. So there is no indication that Giannis is out for this series. I want to get that out of the way. But even if Giannis were to be out for the series, you could make an argument, given the way these rosters are compiled, Miami being without Tyler Herro for what we have to assume is the remainder of this series, at the very least, is just as big as Giannis being out, if he was out, for this series. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today as the Bucks fall to Miami. 130-117, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. They give up home court advantage, and now you have to take game two on Wednesday night here in this building. Again, the big story of the day prior to this was the Memphis Grizzlies also losing at home as the Los Angeles Lakers came in and took game one in their series in Memphis. And I do want to point this out. 128-112 was the final score. We saw Ja Morant suffer what appeared to be a wrist injury in that game. He played 30 minutes. He was 8-14 from the field. But Ja Morant went down on a play where the Lakers were attempting to draw a charge. Ja Morant took the contact, and he landed awkwardly, bracing for the fall with his hand, and it appeared as though his wrist, I don't know what the injury was, but it bent in a very, very strange manner. Today with Giannis, Miami was loading up for the charge. This has nothing to do with Giannis being injured, but the fact that it's two injuries, potentially two injuries, that we saw occurring today around the charge, it is long overdue to ban the charge. It is not a safe play to be sliding in under airborne players, the collisions that we're seeing, the falls that we're seeing happen. This is long overdue. I would make this point if Giannis didn't leave this game with a back issue that he suffered on a collision stemming around trying to draw a charge. We've seen all of these pop up in more and more frequency. It's time. It is not a safe play. It is not a safe defensive play, for that matter. It's time to get rid of the charge. And maybe seeing two big names suffer, even if it's just minor, injuries in a playoff game on the very same day may help usher that out of the league in the very, very near future. We'll wrap up the show, get you set for game two of this series, which, again, will be played Wednesday night. 8 o'clock tip. So get your coffee ready. It is going to be another late night of basketball in 8 o'clock Milwaukee tip time. We'll preview that matchup and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
130-117, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Miami Heat steal home court advantage, taking game one in this best of seven series. So again, we don't know, and we won't know probably until Tuesday, the status of Giannis for game two. Game two is Wednesday night. It is here inside of Fiserv Forum. It is going to be an 8 o'clock tip. So a late night of basketball. A Bucks Talk will likely hit the airwaves at around 11 p.m. that evening. But you got a late night on Wednesday, and now we're just going to have our eyes peeled for the injury reports starting on Tuesday when the Bucks have to submit to see what the status is of Giannis. Same for Tyler Hero as well, as I think we're assuming Tyler Hero is not going to play for the rest of the series, but that has not been verified. It's not over. It's disappointing. It was a frustrating game. The Miami Heat were efficient tonight. The Bucks were not. And the Miami Heat found ways to take advantage of the Bucks defense. So what can the Bucks do to counter that? I think most of what you change is going to be on the defensive end of the floor, and it has to start with Jimmy Butler and how you defend him, who you throw out there. So I do expect to see some differences on Wednesday, but losing game one does not mean this series is over. The Bucks should still be the favorites in this series. Granted, they got their work cut out for them. You got to win four of the next six, and three of those six, only three of the six, are going to be at home. But you are the one seed, and this is an eight seed. My thanks to Evan Witalison for producing the program. And my thanks to everybody for listening and tuning in and to interacting with the show as well. Disappointing results inside of Fiserv Forum. Not the result that we hoped for, but the season is not over yet for the Bucks. We will be back Wednesday night with more Bucks Talk.